Welcome to Zion. If you're visiting today, we invite you to complete a welcome card that you'll find in the back of your, or in the front of the bench there. Fill it out and drop it in the offering basket later. Christmas has come and gone. Did you receive what you were expecting? For us, the expected delivery date was December 17th. Christmas came and went, and still no delivery. The date, today's date, December 28th. Delivery came. The year was 1976. Happy birthday, Leslie. And I think Casey is here too. I know that she was born on Leslie's birthday. With some help, the firstborn was finally here. A few days later, I remember coming home from the hospital, laying her on the couch, and just looking at her. This helpless, very dependent being, I was overwhelmed with the responsibility, and there's no taking this back. But I was also surprised at how deep and unexplainable this love was that we had for this new life. It was a defining moment for me, not just being a new mother. It hit me. This is just a small piece of how much God loves me. He loved me so much that he sent his only son to redeem me, even before I was born. The past few weeks, I've been reading the scriptures and thinking about Jennifer's sermon title, Claiming Our True Identity. A song has been going through my mind night and day. The words are, Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called sons of God. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your presence here and for this opportunity that we have to gather. As we worship this morning through scripture, songs, and the sermon, let us allow ourselves to be bathed in your love, the love that the Father has already given us, and help us to claim our identity in you. Amen.
Be reading from Isaiah chapter 61, starting with verse 10. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up, and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet, till her righteousness shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your righteousness, and all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. Let's join in singing.
Please stand, stand number 201. 201.
Thank you. 318, Joy to the World. 318.
There is one, a great shepherd, ever interceding for us. Shall we join him in prayer as you join me in prayer? Let's pray. You who stooped down to lift us up, who emptied yourself that you might fill us, you who took on the form of a servant that you might raise us to a throne, you are the purpose and the focus of this congregation, both in our gathering here and now, and in our sending and scattering. Through all the many gifts and reasons of our gathering today, exercise your presence and power at the very center of ourselves, of our lives, our loves, and our ministries, so that they are evermore your love and your ministries working through us. Spirit of God, here we offer ourselves to you so that we might celebrate and worship, and in this holiday season, that what we celebrate we might also live and exhibit every day. As you are intimately aware of all the parts of this body that are suffering, fearful, or hungry, make us more aware too, that your flock might always be fed and nurtured with the gifts and resources you have so liberally distributed among us. And not only in this assembly, but all throughout your worldwide church, this we pray, O Lord. This season we celebrate the humility of your incarnation and your gracious accompaniment of us in the desert pilgrimage of our tabernacle of flesh. So move us and guide us that we might be all the more witnesses to you and companions to each other and to a suffering world. Especially we pray that we might all the more become your companions, alert and responsive to the many ways that you still come to walk and talk with us. For your persistent love that ever seeks us and will not let us go, that meets us wherever we are and that is always inviting us back whenever we lose our way, for that persistent love which always makes a way back for us, we thank you. And will ever praise you in this assembly today, but also and forever with all heaven and earth. and all who love your appearing, now and forever. Amen.
Ushers, would you come forward to receive the offering? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do honor you today. We thank you for so much that you have given us, and especially for the gift of your Son that we think about more this time of year, but is with us every day. We thank you for the blessings you've put on us physically, and we just ask you to take these offerings today and use them to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, young men and women. We will be reading from Luke 2, verses 22 through 40. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord.
Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons.
Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying,
Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel.
The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother,
This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too.
There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem.
When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him.
Children, it's time for your story.
Come on up, Dane. Making up your mind?
Yes.
So, how was your week?
Good. I got an iPod for Christmas.
An iPod for Christmas. iPad for Christmas. Cool. That's good. Yeah. Well, let's think back about all of the Advent stories that we've had this season. Remember, the first day of Advent, Sunday of Advent, we talked about Revelation and Apocalypse. You remember that? Yes, you remember that. Do you remember what those words mean? What's a Revelation or an Apocalypse? Anybody?
A surprise?
It's kind of like a surprise, a revelation, a discovery of something. Yeah, an aha moment. And then the second Sunday, we talked about waiting. Waiting for Christmas. Waiting for the Messiah. We talked about Mary waiting for her baby to be born, you know, with her big, heavy stomach. She was probably tired of carrying that heavy thing around, wondering, when will this happen? She was waiting. And then we talked about joy. And do you remember the story about Zechariah and Elizabeth? They were old people that worked in the temple. And they had always wanted to have children, but couldn't have any children, didn't have any children. And they were old enough, they had given up. And then an angel came and said, "You will have a baby." And Zechariah said, "It can't happen because I'm old. We're both old." And the angel said, "You will not be able to speak until that baby is born." Then the fourth Sunday we talked about love and how we show our love to God by what? Do you remember that? By loving each other, right? If we love each other, that shows that we love God. Or the other way too. If we love God, we will love each other. So today we want to talk a little bit about beauty. What is beauty? What do you think of as beautiful? Flowers? Christmas trees? Sunsets? Oh, what's beautiful? Can't think of anything beautiful? Goodness sakes. Okay, take a look at the nativity scene up there. Tell me what's different from what we had last week up there. Who can tell me what's different? Do you know? No, you can't see anything different?
Move them?
Yeah, they're moved a little bit, but there's some more figures up there that weren't there last Sunday. Who are they? That's right. He had put an animal sleeping on the back of another animal, and I moved that. You're right, I did. Okay. So anyway, well, the new things are Mary and Joseph, the manger and the baby. They weren't there last week. When do you think they arrived? Not a very talking group today, are you? They would have arrived probably on New Year's Eve, you think? Christmas Eve, probably in the evening. And the baby was born sometime that night. Okay, so the story for today is about another old couple that lived in the temple. And the scripture reading was about that, if you listen to it. There were these old people that worked in the temple. And 40 days after Jesus was born, he was just a little over a month old, his parents took him to the temple. And the Jewish law at that time required parents to offer a sacrifice on the 40th day after a male baby was born. And so they went to do that. And this old man named Simeon worked in the temple. He was like Zechariah in the earlier story. And he had always hoped and wished that he could see the Messiah. He could see the baby Messiah when the Messiah was born. And actually, God had told him that he would be able to do that. In his lifetime, this baby would be born. And so when Joseph and Mary came in with the baby, he went to them and he took the baby in his arms. And he blessed him and he talked to them about what a wonderful baby this would be. And to him, that baby was the most beautiful thing he had ever seen. Because Israel lived in slavery and they were looking forward to freedom. And this Messiah, they thought, was going to release them from the control of their enemies. And so he lifted his eyes to heaven and he prayed. He thanked God for letting him see this baby, this beautiful baby. And he said, "Now I can die in peace because I have seen this great gift." Okay? Now we're going to light the last candle. You see the big candle in the center is the Christmas candle that represents Jesus. We're going to light that. Paul's going to read for us. I think it's going to work. I think I better have that.
As we light the Christ candle, we welcome a tiny babe, born in a manger, hope of the world, bringer of peace, joy of our hearts, love incarnate. We welcome you. Let Christ be born in us today.
Thank you. Now we can go back.
Please turn to number 191, and again, if you're able to, let's stand again. 191, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Before Jennifer comes to speak with us, I would like to read from Galatians 4, verses 4 through 7. But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. Jennifer? Many of you probably know Jennifer.
She grew up here. But she's been on a journey, and I was guessing that I knew what she was doing. And so after I pray with her, we're going to ask her to share a little bit where she's been and where she's going, if you're settled, that kind of thing. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for Jennifer and for the work that you've been doing in her life. I pray that your spirit would rest upon her. May her words be a blessing and encouragement to us. And I just pray that you would bless her also in the work that she's doing. In your name we pray. Amen.
Well, it's great to be here among you this morning, and it's so delightful to see all the children coming forward for children's time and remembering how I used to do that and sitting for 18 years in your places before going off to college. I'd also like to take this opportunity to thank you all for your support. I felt the support of this congregation as I was in seminary back in Elkhart, Indiana for 3 years, and I thank you for your prayers and the nurturing that you have given me over the years. Like Carol said, I know many of you, but there are many new people here since I left quite a while ago also. I don't even want to say how long it's been. I'm not ashamed of my age, though. I show off my gray streaks. I'm okay with it. So anyway, but it's great to be here, so thank you for the invitation. And the sermon topic this morning is about claiming our true identity. So as I begin, I would like to claim my identity as the original Jennifer Gingrich of Zion Mennonite Church. Although, I have to say, I'm really grateful that there was another one to come after me. We overlapped a couple years, and the fact that she can carry on having a Jennifer Gingrich at Zion is fantastic. And we never knew that Jeremy could do so well for himself, so we're really pleased as a family. I've been telling him that for 18 years. So anyway, I did grow up in this congregation, as I said, and I went to seminary and studied to be a pastoral caregiver, a chaplain in particular, and I am now doing that. I'm living in Salem, and I'm a member at Salem Mennonite Church and very involved there, but I'm working at Providence Portland Medical Center as a chaplain in maternity and the neonatal intensive care unit. And it's a great joy to be working with these little infants and their families, sometimes very difficult and very painful too, but that is where I am currently ministering. And it's been interesting working with babies in this season of waiting for this birth, and that has influenced my sermon to some extent. So I will move into that now. It's after Christmas. Jesus has been born. All our waiting in the season of Advent has culminated in Jesus' humble birth. Our Savior is born. We have been given the ultimate gift of love, God's incarnation, the coming of God in human form through Jesus. And today is a Sunday of celebration and joy. We celebrate the birth of one born over 2,000 years ago, a birth that promised restoration, peace to all people, and justice for the oppressed. God dwells among us for all time, and we are named as God's children and heirs. That is our true identity. We are God's beloved children, and we will receive the promised inheritance of redemption. And yet, our world is torn apart by pain and grief. Sometimes we find it difficult to celebrate in the midst of the pain we experience in our own lives and the devastation we witness around us. We thought this Messiah was to bring hope, peace, joy, and love. But we live amidst greed, hatred, envy, murder, war, abuse, and every kind of injustice. We are even sometimes part of perpetrating these wrongs. Where is the hope amid such suffering and sin? I admit that sometimes I long for a different Messiah, one who will come and fix it all suddenly and swiftly and bring the idyllic, peaceable kingdom where the lion lies down with the lamb and all will be well forever and ever, amen. The Hebrew people certainly hoped for that Messiah and thought that's who they would get, a revolutionary, a military leader, a king, not this vulnerable baby born in a barn. How disappointing. And yet, when I realize how amazing this gift of love incarnate is, I wouldn't have it any other way. Love came down at Christmas, a popular traditional hymn states it. And it's true. Love is what was born in that stable. Hope is what comes from that birth. This is where our true joy lies, and peace within and all around us will be the byproduct of that love. In his letter to the Galatians, Paul is trying to explain to the people of Galatia that through Christ, they have received the gift of God's amazing love and grace. Through Jesus, we are all made beloved children of God, adopted as if God's own flesh and blood, and made to inherit the promise that God made to Abraham. We are now recipients of God's salvation, redemption, and liberation. And the real kicker is that it's there for us all. The love is unfathomable for all people in all times, and there is nothing we need to do to get it. It's just there. It's for you. It's for me. It's for every person we meet. Amen. Now, for whatever reason, it can be hard, at least for me, to conceptualize and accept God's love. Perhaps it's difficult for you as well. Maybe it's because we are brought up in a world where everything we do is judged, evaluated, graded, assessed. It's hard to conceptualize a gift freely given, not to be earned, because the context we live in tells us that we have to work to receive and earn our way. Maybe we're just too stressed, or too busy, too preoccupied with success, or even simple survival or shame to understand that love. God's way is different than the way of our world. This love is simply there for us. In Romans 8, we read that there is absolutely nothing that can separate us from God's love. The entire New Testament is filled with examples of how God's love is not for the earning, but simply given. Jesus is the proof of this, the ultimate expression of God's love for us, because God became incarnate. God became embodied in human form, in flesh. God dwelt among us and dwells among us still. All because of this tiny baby, born out of love, and willing to be vulnerable to all elements of life that we experience. The pain and the pleasure. The grief and the joy. The greed and the generosity. The hate and the love. God experiences it all alongside us, and in spite of it all, promises a better way, and shows us a better way through the life of Jesus. This is the good news for us. We are not alone, and we have one who has gone before us to show us the way of love. One of the things that made Jesus different from many humans is that he lived into his beloved nature, choosing the way of love over and over and over again, regardless of the cost of that choice. By opening himself to love, Jesus lived a full life, even for how short his life was. Jesus' acceptance of his true identity as a child of God a beloved of God, allowed him to live into and out of that love. Through living in love, he spread hope, peace, joy, and love to all whom he met. Love breeds more love. We too are invited into this way of living. This love is abundant for us. We don't earn it. Our annual evaluation doesn't land us with lumps of coal if we're naughty or shining diamonds if we're nice. There is no annual evaluation, simply this gift freely given of love. It's terrifyingly foreign and incomprehensible. What do we fear of this love? I suspect we fear it will run out, or that as good Mennonites, if we accept that we're loved, we'll somehow fall onto the slippery slope of arrogance, pride, and greed. Perhaps we fear we will be taking love away from others. We fear that love has limits and that we might wear it down and dry up the well from whence it came. It's like a woman who received a bottle of very expensive perfume. It was a gift from her spouse, and it was her absolute favorite fragrance. The scent was full but subtle, and it was the woman's prized possession. She would sometimes take it out and smell it, but never wore it. The woman kept saving it for just the right occasion. But she died suddenly, having never worn her prized perfume. She and her partner never got to enjoy that fragrance together. It was sadly kept bottled and never shared. God's love is like a never-emptying bottle of prized perfume. God's love will never dry up, and the well is deeper than all eternity. I love the words of our familiar hymn, "The Love of God." It's greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. Will we risk the lavishness of wearing that incredible fragrance of love daily? When we open ourselves to this incredible love, it spreads, it fills us, and overflows out of us to others. It's always there for the receiving, for all people. But we forget how to love because of the woundedness of our world. We are scared to love because it makes us vulnerable. Release that fear. Embrace the love of God embodied in Jesus for all people. With each opening to this love, there is more love waiting for us. We can receive more love. Not because there's more than someone else or more than there was before. The love has always been there and will always be there, and it will never end. We experience more love because it's more than we previously realized or understood or imagined. In receiving this love, we can more fully live into who we have been created to be. In receiving this love, we share it more freely. In receiving this love, we claim our true identity as heirs of God. Jesus was blessed into his true identity as an heir of God as a baby in the temple. Mary and Joseph took him there as was customary, and he was blessed by an ordinary man, Simeon. Imagine what Simeon must have felt holding this tiny, vulnerable baby that he knew would grow to become the hope of the world. That combination of hope in the midst of vulnerability is something that mothers of newborns know well, as illustrated by Carol in her call to worship this morning. The incomprehensible love a parent feels for their child is an echo of the love our parent God feels for us. Now imagine yourself as the baby. Can you imagine that love for yourself? You are precious, sacred, a beloved child of God, an heir to the kingdom of God. What a gift we are all given at Christmas. A baby has been born who will bring justice to the oppressed, release to the captives, and peace to the brokenhearted. The incarnation of God is within and all around us. Do you see it? Many of us were blessed and dedicated as babies into the care and nurture of the church because our parents presented us for this blessing, as Mary and Joseph presented Jesus in the temple. Many of us also chose baptism as a sign of our commitment to following Jesus. Whether we have been dedicated or not, baptized or not, we are all invited to claim the blessing and love of God. After our response song, you will all be invited forward for anointing. No matter your age, you are all invited to receive this tangible, physical symbol of God's love for you. This is how the anointing time will work. I'm going to explain it now so that we can flow immediately into the anointing from our response song. Julie Yoder, Lynn Miller, Matthew Swora, and myself will be positioned in the front and back of the church in the center to offer the anointing. And the front and back rows will start. So the front row will come forward to receive anointing and go around the ends back to their seats. And the back row will start and come to the center and then go around back to your seats. Anyone who would like to is welcome to receive the anointing, though it's certainly not a requirement, so you don't need to feel obligated. If you prefer to have your hand anointed rather than your forehead, please make that known to whoever is anointing you by simply offering your hand. And in case you're fragrance sensitive, don't worry. We are not using fragrant oil. And one additional thing, if it's difficult for you to stand and wait in a line, Julie will be available at the front after the service to offer anointing to anyone who would prefer to receive it that way. Before we do the anointing, we will sing our response hymn, which is actually a combination of two hymns that tell us about who Jesus is. Kari Ferguson will be singing one of the hymns, which is from the Sing the Story hymnal supplement that you don't have in front of you. So I invite you to listen very closely to the words that Kari will sing. She will sing it for us again as we receive the anointing, so that we'll get to hear the words more than once. After we finish singing the last verse, those of us offering anointing will get in place, and the song will start immediately over again. It will be continuous. And at that point, we'll just listen, and anyone interested in receiving anointing can begin to move toward the anointers, either the front or the back. So come and wear the fragrance of love, and trust that the love will never run out, for we are God's beloved children. Amen.
Please turn to, I forgot the number, what child, 215, what child is this? We will be singing, Kari will sing a verse of the Sing the Story. We will follow melody only. The third verse we will be singing simultaneously with her. This, what child is this, was the children's selection for this week as well.
Thank you.
Jennifer, thank you for the thoughts and the sharing. And it was also at Jennifer's request and inspiration that we've had this service of anointing today. And let us continue in living our inheritance as God's beloved children with a direct connection to the throne of grace in our hearts and right here in our midst as we go on to share any joys, concerns, or testimonies that we can bring together in prayer. A prayer that will close with the Lord's Prayer. What would you like to share with the congregation for our prayers today or this week? If you have any testimonies or concerns, please raise your hand.
This is Florence Regeer, and over the holidays, I talked with my brother in Kansas, and his son-in-law, who is 52 years old, has just been diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's. So this is going to be, and they also have their oldest child has cystic fibrosis. She's in her late 20s. So this is a family that's going to have some issues to face in the coming years. His name is Gene, and his daughter's name is Sarah.
So Gene and Sarah in Kansas. Yes, thank you.
I was asked to share. On Tuesday, I'm leaving to go back to Pennsylvania, the East Coast. But then January 10th, I leave on my cross-cultural with EMU. And so I'll be heading to the Middle East, Jordan, and Palestine, and Israel, and Turkey, and Greece, and Italy. So I'll be back in the States in late April. So if you could send your prayers and thoughts with me, it'd be much appreciated.
For Bethany and your study tour in the Middle East, we will certainly want to hear about that. There's much I think we can learn from your experience there. One of the, I guess you could call it an irony of this season, it's been growing especially the past few years, is that as we celebrate in this time of year, events that happen in what we call the Holy Land, although for us Christians, everywhere we are, there is the Spirit of God. But in what we call the Holy Land or the Middle East, these events that we celebrate happening in relation to prophecy that set our own history of faith in motion, is also at the very same time, the presence of the Christian church in that part of the world is so greatly and quickly diminishing as conflict and persecution and corruption in some of these countries drives the church out, so that one community, often so situated between Jews and Muslims, Christians often related by family to both wider communities, often acting as the buffer and the peacemaker in some of these settings, is disappearing and being driven out and finding refuge in Europe and in North America. And I would invite us to consider in our thoughts and prayers, especially for this next year, what is our role supporting the church and all refugees, especially in this conflicted part of the world now? And what can we learn? And what is our role if and as refugees from these ancient churches come and settle in our own midst, in our neighborhoods? What is God saying to us, and what would God do through us in this situation? Please keep that in your prayers. Please join me now in prayer, to close with the Lord's Prayer. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Yes. Thank you very much. Yes. You might have received the email, but earlier this week, Joel Neuschwander died of cancer. And there will be word coming out later. We'll share about when the memorial service would be. It will probably be here. And we'll share more of those details later, but keep Carolyn and her whole family as well in your prayers. Thank you for the reminder of that. Let's pray. It is by your grace, O Lord, by your worthiness, that we are able to come to the throne of grace with our prayers and concerns, and to find that you, by the Spirit, already always interceding for us. Dear Lord, we lay claim to our names being uttered with tenderness and compassion, care and great honor in your heart. And we lay claim as well to our inheritance, our identity as those seated with Christ on the throne. And we pray, O God, for each other in this time of travel, this time of busyness, this time of looking over the past year, pondering the year that is to come. And we pray, O God, that your grace would sustain and guide us every step of that way. And especially, Lord, hear and bear and share the burdens as we bring them to you. For the family, the friends in Kansas facing Alzheimer's and so many illnesses, and in an untimely way, O God, we pray for them as well. We lift up Bethany and her travels and her learnings, that you would protect her and also bless her, and that we also would be open and listening and learning from her experience. We pray for Carolyn and all her family with the loss of Joel. Oh God, be their comfort, strengthen and encourage them. For all among us who mourn any changes in this time of year, and also for those who share any joys, that we might share them and increase them, we pray. And Lord, help us take up our role, our part, with our peace and prosperity for the suffering church worldwide. Show us what is our part of the burden of your body in this world. For Lord, you see us as part of a timeless community, a family of faith everywhere, united in faith, hope, and love, sharing the prayer of Jesus himself, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please turn to number 61 and sing The Journey. And stand again for a message. We will sing verses 1, 3, and 4.
Thank you.
Go now in the hope, peace, and joy and love of God incarnate. Go as God's heirs and beloved children.